And we're live.
I do have mine on Wi-Fi. You guys on
I'm Wi-Fi? On, she's on Wi-Fi. I'm on the other one.
Good. Hey, everybody. We are doing a podcast today. We're talking about the open. It's open season. It starts next week. We've got a lot planned at Diablo CrossFit, so I thought it'd be fun to kind of have that conversation. A number of members have come up to me and said, hey, we enjoy listening to this podcast. Like, it always makes me feel good when I know that actually someone is listening to these, but they replay them too, which is cool. But I thought it'd be fun to do this one and talk a little bit about our long history that we have in the open, and in competing, to give some perspective, and then also get our perspective on what the open means, and just how about its relative performance. I think some people would assume, well, people that we used to compete against the other affiliates would think about, that's all Diablo thinks about. They're the competition gym. We used to, people would, if they went to Diablo and then they went to another gym, local gym to do CrossFit, you know, that was the selling point for the other gyms. Well, they're a competition gym. I don't know if you want to go over to the competition gym. And in some ways we were.
Scared people away.
Because a lot of our coaches were competitors. But we delivered the same methodology and the same scale format to every single person that came in the gym to change their lives. I didn't mind that association. But what's that?
Somebody said yours sound like in a tin can.
That means someone's microphone is on. I'm not muted. How's that?
Probably better. Corey, let us know if you hear anything different.
Is Christy's?
Christy's muted.
How about her speaker?
Her speaker's muted.
And you're on the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And are you?
Oh, let's double check that. Boom,
Corey. We appreciate that. Fixed.
One day, this will go smooth.
Thanks. One Thanks. Day. Thanks. We're good. We're good now.
Maybe
we're good now. Thank you very much, Corey.
200th episode.
It wasn't Corey. It wasn't Craig. It was definitely on me. There it is. Appreciate it.
I know what it was, too.
You said it, and I fixed it.
So what you heard, what you actually heard was me. So we're all in the same room. We're about 5 or 6 feet away from each other. But what you heard was my voice going all the way to Jamie
my
Lee's
computer
microphone, the shitty little computer microphone, because you have to switch to the
the MacBook. We already had some technical difficulties with Craig even getting into the StreamYard, but it's all good now.
All right, good. Thank you.
This is what happens when we take a couple weeks off.
Anyway, so what we want to do is talk about the Open, what it means to us, and then give some significance around the importance of the Open as it pertains to what we do here inside the walls of Diablo every single day. And then we want to also give some perspective on the relative importance of the games or not importance to what we do here. I think people would be surprised by, you know, our perspective, at least my perspective on it, and what we prioritize here at Diablo versus what maybe other gyms prioritize, or what the community or what people perceive us to prioritize. I think people think, as I said before, that we're a competitive gym, and that's really important. And there is some aspects of that, but that has certainly changed over the last 10 years. I'm rambling. Today's guest is Christy Lee. So we get complete exposure to the real Jamie Lee by having his his wife, Christy Lee, former coach and athlete at Diablo CrossFit, and former marketing director at Diablo CrossFit as well. Director.
Events coordinator.
Yeah, events coordinator. Pretty much jack of all trades. When we lost Christy Lee to the corporate world, it was things went backwards a little bit here at Diablo, much like CrossFit with the loss of Greg Glassman and that crew back in 2020. We know that effect very well. So welcome, Christy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yep. When did you join Diablo CrossFit? Do you remember?
Yeah, September 2010.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, before you. So I went to school at University of the Pacific in Stockton, and I moved home from school. I was doing CrossFit out there at CrossFit 209. prior to coming here. And then one of my best friends was actually already a member here and said, hey, come train with me at this gym. That's kind of how we found you guys. I'm from Danville originally, so moved home, and this was really the only gym in the area at the time. Maybe Sweatshop, but
yeah, Sweatshop was around then.
Did you want to do CrossFit specifically when you came here?
Yes, only CrossFit. So after college, I played soccer in college. So we did strength training. We were doing pull-ups. We were doing, you know, hang cleans, max lifts, all the plyometric stuff. And after college, for 2 years, I kind of fumbled around a global gym, not really sure what to do. Like, I just needed a program to follow. I followed a program my whole entire life, whether it was, you know, going to soccer practice, going to gymnastics, going to, you know, whatever. I always had a coach in my life telling me what we should be doing. And so after college, I was completely lost, you know, with wanting to still stay in shape, needing to stay, not needing, but like for my own mental state, wanting to do stuff. And so that's when I went to CrossFit 209. I just had friends from college who were like, hey, you
know, gym.
Yeah, we know the owners, come train. Like, it's this new thing.
Gabe Subri and what was the other guy?
I forget. Yeah. I don't remember the name.
Oh, long hair. Yeah. Eric, is that Eric Botsford?
No, he was Good Times CrossFit.
Yeah. That's Sacramento.
Yep.
But yeah, so kind of found CrossFit just by needing to continue wanting to maintain a higher level of fitness other than just going to the global gym and walking or running on the treadmill, and trying to like do my own things. And I still like trying to do like lifting, like, you know, cleans, power cleans, squatting at the global gym. People would just look at you like, what is this lady doing?
Especially if the equipment's not really,
well, yeah. And they didn't really have it. I mean, especially back then, they didn't really have a setup like that. So, yes, I came when I moved home to Danville, came to Diablo with the wanting to do CrossFit. I loved it. It was satisfying the needs of, like, you know, high intensity, still keeping my strength. I just saw a video, like a Facebook flashback of 2011 of like my deadlift PR of 125. And it was like, oh my God, like, so, yeah, and I have not looked back. I've been here ever since.
Yeah. The there's a really good takeaway from this conversation so already. In this conversation is, you as an athlete came to CrossFit because you wanted a protocol or something to follow along with for your training. And you think about athletes, and I hadn't thought about that because I always assume that athletes, when they come here, they already know what to do.
Mm. Yeah, and to some extent, I did know what to do.
You know the movements, but you always had a prescription delivered to you.
Yes, that's what I was missing. I needed that daily, here's what you're doing. You know, I needed that structure, really, the prescription and the structure. Because like I said, I could do all of it by myself. It just was lack of motivation or just... yeah, not knowing maybe I should do this one day, this another, and then...
It's one thing. I mean, like, coming from soccer, being on a soccer team with teammates, you know, you're just going walking around and
aimlessly, like...
Versus now when you come in here, you're training and making friends and whatnot.
Yeah.
I think about other athletes that have come in here for kind of the same reason, same thing, is they want something that people that were like Christy, very good collegiate athletes, or even beyond that, that come in and want that prescription. And that is one of the beauties of the CrossFit affiliate, is you know, a lot of our members, I think there's a great deal of our members who are here because they couldn't get something like that at a global gym.
Yeah, for sure.
And so they go to a CrossFit gym because it's laid out, told what to do. And certainly other fitness firms have followed suit with that protocol, the F45s, the Orange Theories, the Barry's Boot Camp, where it's group-led instruction. You don't have to think. You just go up, show up, do the work. They'll tell you what to do, and then you leave. And you know, the F45s and the, well, and I think more so the, like the cycling spin places like SoulCycle and Orange Theory use lighting and everything else. They call it, you know, they call it Xertainment.
It's, yeah, it's a,
where they try and spice it up to get you to come back. The unique thing about CrossFit though, that happens when you come and do CrossFit is we get a true community. I'm sure. Well, I know that because I've been to a SoulCycle. I haven't done an Orange Theory, but I've done SoulCycle. And one of the things I found was really cool, and people were, you know, everyone's friendly. Like, there's no assholes. So, you know, I mean, there might be over time, but, you know, there was no assholes. It was fun. It was, the energy was good. People are high-fiving each other, but there's no connection. And it's because they've taken that protocol and they've scripted it the whole fucking way from when you, and that's the corporate franchise model.
Every spot's been the same.
Right. Where you go in and they, you know, here's the warm-up that your coach is going to deliver. And that's probably delivered out to the entire system. And then here's the time they're going to spend on the rower warming up. Here's the time on the, you know, treadmill they're going to spend. And then here's the time with the dumbbells. And then at this, you know, at 15 minutes after the hour, you start the workout. It's, you know, gradual, but you know, you go right through and the whole thing's scripted from start to finish, which reduces the amount of engagement time, in my estimation, that the members can have together. Whereas a CrossFit gym, you walk in, we have the methodology. They're going to guide you through class. But here at Diablo, for example, we allow our coaches to write the warm-ups and do their own warm-ups because I want each coach to have their own flavor and style so that the experience is different for every member, for the members at different times of the day. And then the workout itself obviously is the same for all of us, but the prep going into it and the, even the skill instruction might be slightly different.
I think it's definitely different. Cause I mean, I haven't been to a Orange Theory. You've been to one, right?
Yep.
Would you say it's a place where you would learn something? Like, cause I feel like here we're not just teaching or coaching people. We want people to learn how to move stuff. So that way you could potentially do it elsewhere or at home or whatever the case is, but also understanding why you want to do strength, why it's so important versus let's jump on this treadmill. Let's go to here. And there's really not the same kind of stimulus from a strength perspective.
Yeah. I've done both. And I secretly have a love for SoulCycle, but then I also hate it. But at SoulCycle and Orange Theory, it's they are great programs, right? I don't want to just hate on them, but it is just a come in, here's what you're doing. There's no instruction. It's either get on your bike and we're going, or, you know, get on this treadmill or get on the rower and then you're doing lightweight. There's no instruction on how to properly do the movements. Even like just doing a drop in, they were not like, oh, here's where this is, here's where that is. It's just like, okay, go, goodbye. Have fun. And that was it.
To where if we were to do a drop in at another affiliate somewhere else,
it's
a different environment. It's like walking into somebody's home.
Yes. Yeah.
The and then there's breaks in between the things that we do. You know, there's break, there's time for interaction. And, you know, during my, you know, when I'm doing a warm up, I'm walking through the class, talking to people. Pet people are talking to each other. You know, you want that kind of friendly engagement.
Oh, do you, Jamie? Jamie always yells at me for talking too much.
Yeah, she does. Because it can be distracting.
Craig and I get distracted. It would be in the morning.
A conversation that's nowhere near related to what we're trying to review in class.
I admittedly, there are times when Christy's been in my class where I'm standing there talking to them and we both kind of realize, oh, crap.
There's about 15, 20 other people here.
And they're all looking at us. Like, okay, we'll do these now with the bands. But that that environment, that almost collegial environment, and not neglecting the professionalism of, you know, the adherence to standards, but that collegialism is something that's unique to CrossFit. I think it really is. It's, you know, where the lights are on, it's bright in there. Everybody can see everybody's face. You know, everybody knows everybody. There's time before the workout. There's time after the workout. There's time during the whole hour. We have a chance to interact with people and engage with people, and it makes it fun and interesting. Which keeps people, I think, which just really defines our quote community. And I think the intensity of the workouts too.
Yeah.
Is another thing that's different from other methodologies. Look,
it varies. There's times when
SoulCycle was hard, and they're, you know, and I'm sure F45 too, with the way they structure their programs, they probably get really hard. Orange Theory kind of taps that or touches that, but they don't get super intense.
But the intensity is varied too, though, because I feel like with those other programs, it's, you know, you're there, you're working constantly for what, 40 minutes, 45 minutes versus right. here. It's like, you know, our intensity, like we might be doing a heavy day where we're right. squatting heavy and you're sharing a bar with somebody. So there's an opportunity for you to, you know, make a friend in the classroom and share equipment. But also the type of intensity is different. Like you're going for a heavy lift versus just a long 40 minute workout.
Right. And when you do it, when you get it, every, you know, people get excited.
Yeah, especially when you go for a PRs or something
PR,
like that.
Yeah, and there's compliments always. Mm-hmm. Your first open was when? What year?
2011.
2011 was your first, which is the first year. That's the first mm-hmm. year of the open. Mm-hmm. So this is your 14th open or 15th open, right?
I happened to give birth in February both times to my boys.
So. Just had two birthdays. Just
Jimmy was like, you could have like done it. And I said, okay, for the world out there, I was 1 week postpartum and 2 weeks postpartum. So no, I could not have done it. Contrary to maybe some other people, that was not on my agenda. So I had to miss 2 years. Those damn children.
But you're back.
But she's back.
Well, sort of.
You're doing it.
And so Chrissy came in and you did you participate in sectionals?
Yeah, I was just gonna ask that.
No.
In 2010?
Pre-open?
No.
Pre-open. Okay.
Did not do sectionals in 2010.
All right. And that was fun. So Diablo's history is our first games was 2000. Our first game that we went to was 2008. And it was really just show up. I think you had to register. You had to submit your name ahead of time because they were worried about having too many people. So they limited the number of people that could go down there. And then we went back down in 2009, 2008, we had some athletes go down there and participate. I was down there participating in that one. It was fun. It was tough. And
you did it.
Not in 2008. No, I did sectionals.
Did
the sectionals.
And then 2009 was back down at the ranch. And that was when we knew, oh, crap, this thing's
that was the
huge.
First year of qualifying too, yes. Right? That was when they had a NorCal regional
yeah. At Aromas.
Yeah.
Was the NorCal region. But there were a couple of regionals around
the world. Yeah. That was the first year it went international, essentially.
Yeah. And that was really cool. And we had a couple of athletes that qualified for the games, including a team, if you will. Mm-hmm. There were six athletes, I think, that were on the team. That was Yvonne was on that team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was really cool and just a fun, and it was all about, it was, you know, that's why they make the Woodstock reference. Cause it was, you know, primarily cause it was filthy, dirty down at the ranch. It was dust and dirt, but we had tents and there was alcohol and it was organic. Relaxed. It was fun. There was, you know, the only thing, it was just all about bragging rights. You know, the winners got gift certificates.
The workouts weren't also like scheduled out the same format too, right? No. It was like, or was that 2008 when you kind of picked?
That was your track. When you picked, okay, yeah. 2009. It was, you know, they went in waves and mm-hmm. in the different workouts. It was fun. And then 2010 was the first year at Carson.
Carson, yeah.
So it was to get there, you had to do a sectional.
Yeah,
you had these sectionals all around the country,
which
all
led
around
to
the world.
A regional.
Yeah, which went to a regional.
Yeah.
And the sectionals were fun because we went down to San Jose. It was at Mitty High School. Mm-hmm. And that was a blast. We went down.
Single
day
event, too.
Single
day
event.
Was it single?
Yeah, it was single day.
Okay.
And then that took you to the semifinals, which were down in Orange County.
The regional one.
Yeah, the regional one. The Southern Cal. Yeah, it was the California regional. It was down in Southern California. And that was a blast. And at all of those events, our community got behind it. Mm-hmm. They were celebrating. We had my RV that I had. Yeah. I bring down there, and we'd set that up.
The base camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's getting loud outside.
Everybody out there? Okay out there? It's getting loud outside our door. So anyway, so that was a blast. And then we went to to Carson to watch the games. We had a large group of our members that went to watch that. We didn't have a team at the 2010 games, right?
No, 2011 was the first year.
2011, first year.
Yeah, as a qualified team.
In 2010, it was a dark year for Diablo. We didn't have anybody at the games. One of the very few years no one qualified for the games. I think we've only had. I don't think there's any other year. That's why Yvonne is like she's a nut about trying to qualify for the games.
She's holding it down.
2010 was the only year that Diablo didn't have somebody qualify for games level participation. And but we still had a whole bunch of people down there because I had pictures from like the crowd that was down there celebrating, watching. Here's an interesting statistic. The women on the podium at the 2010 CrossFit Games at Carson, which was his tennis stadium was so epic. And we thought, this is like big time.
It's empty.
The women that were on the podium, Annie Thorstadter, Kristen Clever, and I think Val Voberl was the third place, got gift certificates for some sport company.
So crazy.
They were standing here with
I think Kristen got a big check.
No. They all got big gift certificates. I have the picture.
Progenix.
Yeah.
It's $50,000 to Progenix.
Lifetime supply.
Yeah. However, the men, right, which was Graham Holberg on the podium, Rich Froning was second. And I want to say...
Is it Miko?
Miko?
No, Miko, because Miko pulled out because he blew his eardrum in the first
was
event.
Was it Austin?
Maliolo?
I don't remember. On the podium there. And, here it is. Let me see if I can show this one. You got. I can share screen. I got to show this picture. This is good. Whoever was third for the guys, but it, see that's why you don't like. You know, third place was the second loser.
True story.
But what I was blown away with when I saw this picture is I remembered how amazing it was to go to Carson for all of us. Like for us, there were just like. You know, growing up in this, in the sport, it was like, what? We're big time now. And then I came across this picture that I thought was like, when I saw the picture on Flickr, because we save all our old photos on Flickr from back in the day, I thought, well, man, there's a podium picture and I could see the small one. I was like, oh, and they're holding cars. Oh, shit, we were big time back in 2010. And then I opened it up and this is what I saw. Let me see if I can. Where is it? Doesn't the
share screen down at the bottom? The
window. Oh, yeah. You got to go to window. Here it is. Boom. Share. Boom. So, Kristen Clever.
Oh, that was the year they did the unknown final. That's right.
Yes.
Gift card. You're right.
Gift card. And the irony of that is amazing to me because it's like when we look at, you know, all the things that they're complaining.
It went from $1,000 to $500 to $250 as far as the gift card goes.
They got some Lulu swag too.
Yeah. Yeah. That was when Lulu was back and big.
Chris is like, well, maybe it wasn't that
bad.
Wait
a minute.
They do have Lulu swag. Yeah. That's right. The guys, I don't have the picture up for the guys, but the guys, there was a $20,000. This is kind of shitty because the gift certificates for the same was $500 and $250 for second and third, and then the $1,000 gift card plus a $25,000 check from Progenix.
Okay.
That was
for
the
only
big
the men.
For only the men.
Oh, only the men got it?
Yes.
For real?
Yes. Remember they were complaining about the leveling?
Yeah.
They were complaining about paying the women to the men. I think that's kind of where it started. Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
How do
it's
I
pretty wacky
stuff sharing?
Yeah, I got you.
Yep. Anyway, so just to give some perspective on how we got started.
And now you've got Tia Tumi, who's the most paid athlete.
Yes. I mean, we did this because it was bragging rights. We loved CrossFit. We wanted to share the methodology. The people in the stands were affiliate members. Mm-hmm. Probably 100% of them were affiliate members and affiliate owners. And then as people watched it, they were thinking, I want to do this. Not necessarily, I want to do this as an athlete and maybe compete for some. A lot of people did, I'm sure. But many of them were just like, I want to do this. I want to be a part of this somehow. I want to judge. I want to volunteer. I want to be in this. I want to be an affiliate owner. I want to be a coach. I want to get my certification. I want to do all of that. And that, unfortunately, I think is lost in the today's generation of the sport because the sport has like accelerated to where these athletes are so unbelievably good. They're so much better than the average gym member at a CrossFit gym.
It's like a full-time
job. That is completely out of reach. It's a full-time job. And then what CrossFit did, CrossFit Games did, was created income opportunities mm-hmm. where they could do it full time. And so any impact on that income, like how the season lays out for the year, what workouts are going to have to do, the risks of those workouts. Now the athletes are like, hey, this is my job. I'm dependent upon this. You can't change my job. You can't fuck with my income. And as a result, you know, then they, you know, the, if they don't get what they want or they don't feel satisfied or, you know, and I understand it. I don't necessarily agree with all of it, but I understand where that comes from. But when they don't get what they want or what they think they deserve, then they go directly to the audience that supported them and help give them the notoriety that they have to make it very public, which then trickles down. I didn't mean to get on this subject, which trickles down into the affiliate community, just to let these athletes know, affiliate community, where then when we do open signups for 2025, we get lackluster participation and even echoes from our community, which I have had. I don't want to give my money to CrossFit this year. And that only comes from the people that they are following is where that came from, and their the dissent that they created. And it may be having an effect for them feeling satisfied. It does not affect CrossFit, who will not yield to that type of
demand,
social extortion, if you will. I get it. You don't want to participate. Don't participate. I think if you want to protest, and I've said this before, and I actually posted this, you want to protest, freaking crush the open, go to some semifinals, enter the online one, make it to the games, and then take a knee. Say, I'm not going to participate in the games this year out of protest.
That would bring some attention.
The problem is, I don't think they could do that. Sorry, this is going to get me. This whole podcast can get me in trouble. meaning, if they get that far, they're going to be like, oh, fuck it. I've got a chance now.
Well, I think, okay, bring it back.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll be the voice of reason. Not really, but I think obviously these athletes, since it is their way of life, you know, they feel like they want to have a say in what workouts are programmed, the safety of the workouts. I come from a company where safety is our number one top priority. We talk about it every day, even though half of the population works from home. You know, Jamie's always like, what are you guys doing again? Why are you talking about this? But,
can we say the name of the company?
Sure.
Okay. PG&E. She works for PG&E. It's not her fault. don't call her when your power goes out.
Or can gas.
Leave it
transmission.
Leave it to me. Cause I always bugger about it. Anyway, go ahead.
But I think, so I understand that aspect where they want to feel their voice heard. They want to be a part of the planning process. But also you have to think of CrossFit as the enterprise where they are setting the standard and they are then communicating that standard out. And you as an athlete signed up for this. You are responsible for it. You are responsible for following their rules as the quote unquote governing body. And, you know, of course, everybody has their right to voice any objections. But if you do want this to be your way of life, you come in with the understanding that yes, sometimes these rules have to be followed. Same as if you were to work, you know, at a corporate job, you can't just throw your hands up and say, I'm not doing my job today. Like, goodbye. You would be fired, you know, or move to a different position, put on leave. Like, I think about the same way. And it hurts. It saddens me to some extent to hear that members in this gym don't want to do the open because they don't want to support CrossFit. You know, it's a completely different, I don't want to say dynamic, but like us doing the open at, you know, my level as a regular member who just wants to come in here and have friends and have 1 hour to my day for being fit. And I mean, I'm here three times a week, maybe these days. So, you know, just really it's a place to come and be with my friends, get an hour away from my kids, my family, my job, get out of my house since I work from home. And it's exciting when we do the open here because everybody is cheering for you. It's 100% a community aspect. And maybe it's the people who haven't been involved in Friday Night Lights or haven't really seen the value in the open. And I mean, it's not that much money. It's $25. Don't go to Starbucks.
It's not even 25. It's 20.
20. Don't go to Starbucks three times, you know, and you'll be fine. So that's where I just, if people, you know, it's not you just supporting CrossFit. It's supporting Craig and Diablo and the community that you say you want to be a part of by being a member here. I think that's what, like, our members at Diablo and members at other affiliates too, who are kind of all up in arms where they want to support their athlete. You know, these athletes can drop and go to another thing at the drop of a hat because they want to get paid. They want to follow the next trend. And the next trend is usually who's going to pay them the most. You know, or what their sponsors are saying they should or should not be doing, because again, that's who's going to pay them. You need to take a step back and think about just what's right for your own personal life. And do you want to be part of a community and, you know, have fun with working out and, you know, your friends doing it. And I don't think it has anything to do with what happened at the games last year, because that is like the Super Bowl of CrossFit. And what happens at the Super Bowl is not attainable for anything, any average member who just comes here to be fit, which is 99% of us.
It's also kind of shooting yourself in the foot this year specifically, because if you don't do the open, you don't have the opportunity to do the community cup that's coming up. This is the first year that CrossFit's kind of brought in more outside of the open to everybody. You know, last year was 25% for the quarterfinals. Year before that was 10% for the quarterfinals. There's no more quarterfinals this year, but they've basically given everybody a quarterfinal that's going to happen 3 months later. So doing the open, you get your rank, you get your level, and then you got 3 months to train to compete against everybody else in your level. So it's like that is a quarterfinal for everybody, and we have more time to prepare for it. And, you know, talking to some people in here, like, not everybody fully understands what's going on with the quarterfinals. And I think it's just
the community cup.
Yeah. I'm sorry, community cup. Thank you. Right. The community cup, and it comes back to what you're saying as far as like being part of the community. And, you know, this is a first year that we have an opportunity to do this community cup that's going to just elevate more of the affiliates and kind of it takes away some from the top and that tip of the spear, but there's still the CrossFit Games. They still can qualify to do that. It's don't shoot yourself in the foot. Do the open.
Christy, really well said, by the way. That was just that touched on all the topics perfectly. And I agree with Jamie regarding the community cup. The community cup has been hard to describe, and everybody sees it as, oh, they're just doing this just to replace the quarterfinals. And some of that is true, but there is in talking to Dave Castro about it, and especially Adrian Bosman about it, there's a real opportunity here with the community cup to change the way we do CrossFit competitions within the affiliate world in general. You give a ranking to someone, much like a tennis ranking or even a handicap in golf. Now you can go head to head with people based upon your ranking level. Workouts can be scaled accordingly because of ranking levels. Essentially, you think about it as walking into class, a brand new coach walking into coach a Diablo class, and they walk in and everybody has a shirt on with their ranking number. I'm not saying, you know, certainly we would do that, but I'm just saying it's kind of that for someone that's programming a competition or creating a competition or creating really cool new events that that people could participate in. If you knew their number, you know, if I knew and I looked and in my mind, I got numbers for everybody anyway.
Now we get to actually just really label it.
Yeah, now we get to, most of the time it's like, you are not that number. Let me help you with that weight.
Here's the modification. You know,
bar muscle ups ain't happening today, level 6. Let's go back down to chest bar pull-ups. Anyway, sorry, I digress. But walking into a class and being able to see someone's level and knowing the level, but what that makes it really cool for competitions.
Yeah.
Jamie's a brilliant programmer, and especially for competition events too. And him knowing, I want him to know those things so that he can plan ahead of time. How can we put someone that is 2 years CrossFit experience, good, but doesn't have all the great best skill sets or the complex skill sets, against someone that is, that's been here and is maybe level one or level two athlete, how can they go head to head and finish at the same time in a competitive event and maybe score for themselves or score for a team? That's really cool.
It just brings more opportunity to compete.
I turned away from the mic.
Right, we still got it. Yeah. It's on camera.
Yeah, sorry.
Shit. No, but like it, from a programmer standpoint, if you're planning for an event and you want to give everybody a good opportunity to have fun with the event, this is a perfect opportunity to do just that.
Jamie gave told me a really cool idea. Yes, I'm going to put it on this podcast. Hopefully someone doesn't steal it.
Yeah.
But you think about a High Rocks type event, right? And what High Rocks events are cool. And by the way, I love it. Our members are doing it. They're fun. Everybody has said it's a great experience. Z at Counterculture said she almost died doing it because she had to run. But
had to run far.
It's more endurance based. Everybody knows that. Don't bitch about the standards. That's the, you know, you can go to a CrossFit local competition. You can see the same standards bullshit that you might see at a High Rocks event.
Yeah.
That just happens in competitions. We know that. But the best athletes always usually move really well. But what Jamie's idea was, imagine a High Rocks race where you do a High Rocks race. And then you want to give someone that is a level
seven.
Yeah, level seven, level so 7 through 10, right? So you want to give level 7 through 10. You want
to
No.
So this is the way you would do it. We have 10 levels, right? So we have the opportunity to get 10 levels through doing the open. You have to score something for 3 weeks and you get a level. Now, if we have a race, an event that also has an opportunity for a lift component, let's say level 6 and up get to go and do the lift. Now, 6 and 7 are going to do a deadlift because their skill level is not as high as somebody that's going to be doing a snatch. Levels 7 and 8, they get to move on to do a clean and jerk. And then levels 9 and 10, which would be falling into the pro division, you can now do something like a snatch event. But that, from a programming standpoint, you don't want somebody brand new feeling like they have to go and do a race and then go right into some kind of a lift.
Yeah.
So this is one way we're kind of having an opportunity to keep those that don't need the extra just to stick with just the race and be a part of the event and have fun with it. Where those that are maybe more advanced and have more experience under their belt and want to actually do the lift, they can go on and do the lift after they've done the race. But in order to get to that point, you have to improve your fitness to improve your level to then have the opportunity to do the lift.
It allows for, here's one of the things it allows for too, is it allows for, you know, because they have these qualifiers, online qualifiers for events, you almost, in some cases, if this, you know, qualification process works with the open, you almost don't need an online qualifier.
That's true. You can go right into register for an event.
Yeah. You can register elite if you're CrossFit, you know, level 10. If you're level 10, you can register for elite. Or maybe they have a qualifier event. And the only way you can participate in the online qualifier is if you're level 10. Although that takes away revenue from this.
I mean, you could still do the qualifier. It's just now you have to, like, unlike with like Wadapalooza, like you sign up and if you're in the top 20 or something like that, you're granted the elite division. That's but if correct. You don't, you're now an RX division.
Right.
So, I mean, it does kind of take away from that, but
it does, but that does allow from a programming perspective, you're doing a one mass event. Yeah. It allows for programming opportunities that could be really fun, especially for an intra gym comp or a local gym competition, but all the way back to the open. We have, Christy's run a lot of opens here at Diablo for a number of years. She, you know, helped organize them back when it was, you know, 6 weeks and 5 weeks.
Yeah.
just
all the score sheets laid out on my floor, entering and validating scores. Days.
Oh yeah, entering validating
scores. Chasing people down.
You know, submit your score. There's a lot of people say, hey, we wish we'd go back to 5 weeks, 6 weeks. And, you know,
they I'm don't one of those understand. Owners. They was, do not understand.
It's, you know, 3 weeks is challenging.
Yeah.
And 5 weeks was a lot. And 6 weeks was the 1 year we went 6 weeks. Was just brutal. Anyway, but you've run it and you've seen what goes on here, you know, at Diablo, and is, how important is that, do you think, or how much does that contribute to, say, the, you know, the membership base, you know, or even more than that, retention of the members at Diablo, like in your estimation over the years?
I think it's the one time a year. I mean, we used to do a lot more community events.
Yeah, we did.
Within
CrossFit.
Within Diablo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I think now we haven't done that very much in the probably past, 3, 4, 5 years. So the open is the one time where we can really pull everybody together. Last year I was at the gym and I was one of the team captains, and shoot, I didn't know half the people here because I'm my little lonely 5 a.m. self. And now I'm kind of doing the noon a little bit sometimes. Mm. But yeah, if you don't go to other times, you never meet people, you don't know, you just don't have that kind of cross pollination between times. It's only your time of day. That's the 20 other people that you see. And so the open is the one time of year where literally the whole entire gym can come together. You can meet new people, like-minded people. Hey, oh, your kid goes to school at my school. I didn't know that. Cool. Yeah. Let's get our kids together, shout out to Valhalla. There's a lot of us all of a sudden. So, and I mean, it takes a lot to run. It takes a lot. It's a lot of more wear and tear on the gym, setup, breakdown. And kind of it's disruptive in a way where some members who aren't participating in the open get frustrated because classes are canceled. There's people in open gym taking up their regular open gym space, judges all over the place. But I think it's an important time to realize that this is where we come together as a community. All of us, all however many member us, even if you're not doing it, just come and see the craziness that is the open, and the craziness in the best possible way, because it's fun, it's loud, people are cheering. Like, in what time in your daily life do you go about where people are cheering you on? Like, people are in a meeting, it's like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, no, we don't get that anymore as adults, So I think it's really, from the start of Diablo in 2011, our small little quarter gym over there, to how big we are now, it's only grown and gotten better. And we've had the ebbs and flows of where we were fully a competition gym, teams and individuals at the games, 100 members traveling down to the games in Carson. We've taken a step back from that where we, just Yvonne is the lone rider at the games, they've made it harder, I guess, for us to get there.
Further away,
location, just separating it from the actual games. But
to make it to the games now, this is the important distinction. Jamie, by the way, can you pull up that Herald video on Facebook in the Facebook members group? Because I want to show a little bit of that. It'd be cool. How are you on time, Christy?
Yeah.
Okay. I got 18% on my computer, by the way. FYI. Jesus. Sorry. And I don't have my charger. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Story we of make our it. Lives. Yes.
Our gym has evolved, and I think the entire CrossFit community has, the affiliate community has evolved to where the athletes themselves are rarer, right? And they have to start much younger. They have to start and specialize in CrossFit, competitive CrossFit at a much younger age now in order to get to the highest level of the games. I've had affiliates tell me this, we used to, love to go to the sectionals and we go to the regionals and the whole community. And then as soon as it got too hard, it was like, it wasn't fun anymore.
I don't think you should think about it as it's not fun anymore because it's too hard. I mean, that's the nature of all sports, right? The best of the best are on the floor, whether it's football, basketball, baseball. Yeah. Like, not everybody can just walk in and be at the games. Yeah. Of course not. That's why it's the CrossFit games.
Yeah.
But I think our sport is so cool because I can be doing literally the exact same workout that Tia Toomey is doing, but obviously she's going to do it way faster and probably heavier, but I can do the exact same movements.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. And a lot of people should think that way.
So it's a way to connect with the athletes, but at the same time, 99% of affiliates aren't going to have anyone that's going to make it to that ultimate level. But it is a way to connect with those athletes. And at the same time, it remains that fiery, fun, exciting environment
that
grew from these affiliates that were contributing athletes to the games back in the day, or to the next level of competition back in the day. When the Diablo was removed, with the exception of Yvonne, who's going to qualify for the next level, and maybe one or two athletes that might qualify for the next level of the competition. What's really cool is that you know, it's people are coming just to do the Open, nothing else. They're just coming to do the Open.
Yeah, and I think the games is really the ultimate tip of the spear, right? Everyday people coming in here are not going to the games.
No.
And they shouldn't think that could be attainable. It takes years, like you said, years of hard work, dedication, altering your whole entire lifestyle to have it revolve around literally working out and being in peak fitness with health, recovery, you know, your whole entire life. So
Keith's comment is good. I think the requirement to build a strategy to tackle whatever the workout is together is a unique element that I see. And he's right about that. Mm-hmm. That you come in and everybody comes and they're talking strategy. How did you do it? Did you break it up? What's the fastest way?
Uh-huh.
That's a really interesting concept, because that won't happen in any other methodology. Like you're not gonna go to Orange Theory and go, did you roll really hard on
that? I mean, even in your day-to-day class, you don't really talk about that. The coaches will obviously give you some cues on how to approach the workout, but it's not like I'm going to my neighbor working out next to me, hey, are you gonna do 6 and 4 wall balls or all 10 or 5 and 5? Like, you kind of just are in the zone
and Jamie will program workouts for the stimulation for the stimulus that he wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Which doesn't
can vary.
Yeah.
It varies, everybody. Don't hang on Jamie's workouts all the time. Because I hear it in class.
I don't think they hear it. Hate on it.
But you're not necessarily trying to finish the workout the fastest. You're trying to achieve a certain stimulus. You know, like the power clean workout that we did the other day, where
the
it was
clean and jerk
15.
One.
Yeah, or the clean and jerk. It was 15, 12, 9, 6, 3. You could take as much time as you want, but you had to do them unbroken. And you know, you could try to accumulate really heavy weights right from the get-go, or you could go lighter. But the ultimate goal was just to get a heavy stimulus at the end, at the 6 and 3, to get a really heavy cycling on the barbell, and at the lighter weights to learn, practice on the movement so that it's efficient,
mm-hmm.
you know, versus a competition where if it's a cumulative weight, man, you're going to start going heavy right away and you're going to be talking strategy with people. You're going to figure, okay, should I go heavy first? Should I go light first? It's different. You're right, Christy. It's different in class. And at the Open, you're trying to get the fastest fucking time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you're trying to get the heaviest weight.
Mm-hmm. Or the most rounds.
Yeah. Reps. And there are strategies for doing that are really cool. And that does make it really engaging and fun. Again, this is about as an affiliate owner, Christy made some really good points. One, we don't do as many events throughout the year as we used to do. Probably because, you know, my wife and I have gotten old. And it's tiring, but we, you know, so the Open gives us this opportunity to do that. And we rally around workouts. So we all have a common theme. You know, we do events. Last night we did a mobility event. Mm-hmm. You know, we brought in Dr. Morey and she came in and talked about mobility, brought her team, did that. That was cool. You know, but a small portion of our community went and attended that.
A small, tiny
bit. The Open, everybody comes together, all the different class times that come together. And this is, I think, lost on the athletes that are saying, hey, I'm stepping back from the Open. Or I'm not doing the Open. Here's why you should join me, or calling people out to not do the Open. That affects the communities. Mm-hmm. That are the core, that are the foundation for everything that we do in CrossFit.
It's also affecting the communities that need it.
Yes. Well, and very importantly, there's a lot of communities that need it. And I think Diablo, it's necessary.
Yeah.
I think an important thing to understand is the athletes are most likely not involved in the day-to-day communities of affiliates.
And I understand how
So we have struggled with it at Diablo for forever since I've been here, because we've been a competitive gym, and it's rightfully so. They cannot just go take a class. They have to be doing, you know, their 4 hours of workouts. But I think that's where they kind of don't think it's that big of a deal, or they don't fully understand the repercussions that they have when they say, I'm not doing the
Because
it doesn't really mean anything to them other than them taking a stand because they want the games to be safer and have an athlete voice. They don't realize the trickle effect. down to the affiliate level on, well, you know, you're, these are members who look up, or, you know, average people who look up to you and say, well, if they're not going to do it, I'm not going to do it.
Chris makes a great point. And I don't mean to imply that these athletes are doing it intentionally to harm the communities. It's just,
I just don't think they understand.
That's right. They don't understand how it does. And that's why, and then what happens is affiliate owners get pissed off, those damn athletes, you know, and I know, and I talk to affiliate owners and people get, and then there's, now we've got this battle going online, and affiliate, the athletes are trying to provoke change at the highest level to make things safer for them. And unfortunately, the collateral damage on both sides from how CrossFit reacts and handles it, and then on how the athletes attack, the collateral damage is the affiliate communities are affected. And then the foundation starts to get a little weaker that supports this whole thing. One of the things I said at, in my coach's meeting, and I think I did. I put it on X if you want to watch Twitter, but don't follow me on Twitter because you might not like everything you see there. I don't even like everything I post there. But one of the things,
dumpster fire.
But one of the things I did say on there is it is unfortunate that the entire CrossFit community could not come together during the open, especially for 25.1, everyone come together in a massive way to celebrate the life of Lazar Duchik and his passion for CrossFit that he had, that helped create so many awesome relationships that he had and the people that he inspired. It would have been awesome. What a great thing to have this entire caring CrossFit community come together in this first open workout to celebrate the life of Lazar Duchik. And we can't do it. It's like
been tainted.
It's a topic you can't even discuss. You can't bring it up. Someone's probably going to attack that comment that I just made about it. But I feel like, man, did we, like the stuff we do for the hurricane victims, for the fires, the GoFundMes we've done.
The hero workouts.
Just the hero workouts. Like that's what this CrossFit community is all about. Mm-hmm. And we can't go there. And I think that's a tragic, that would have been just awesome. And it would have been, here's even more so, it would have been something we all would have remembered forever. Yeah. 10 years from now, we're like, hey, you guys remember 25.1?
Yeah.
When we all came together in this amazing community to celebrate the life of Lazar Duchik and in the memory of Lazar Duchik. Not pointing blame, not pointing fingers, not saying who caused it, didn't cause it. But man, we missed that opportunity. And there's fault all around on that one. Anyway, can we show a little bit of that video? I want to give people a little bit of a taste.
I think the audio should work here.
Let me see. This is one of my members of coaches.
Doing the open this
I can
year?
Hear.
Yeah, I think I will. I think at this point, it's just tradition for me. I mean, I know it's a marker we used to see if we got fitter from last year, but I have a different reason for doing it. The open is special to me for probably the same reason it is for everyone else. To us, the open represents the moment we finally call the gym our community, or even our family. It's the one event where we felt like we finally belong in this close-knit group. For a lot of CrossFitters, some of their top memories happened during the open. I know it did for me.
Bro, hitting a PR on the lift, or doing your first muscle-up while your friends cheer you on, that feels amazing.
I know it probably sounds dumb, but by doing it every year, I feel like I get to pass that feeling, or even help contribute to someone else making that lifelong memory. And to be part of that memory just seems very cool. But yeah, I am going to do the open because it's fun, challenging, and I want to make more memories with the friends I call family.
How cool is that? I get you because that's it right there. Friends and family. And people would say that, you know, the open is, you know, it's not necessarily good or helping affiliates. They're wrong. Like we'll get friends and family that come and watch.
Yeah, yeah.
We get kids that come and watch their parents. I remember last year, you know, Annalise George bringing her three kids to watch Brian compete and them sitting there and watching their dad.
Our kids have been here.
Firefighter.
Every year.
Yes. Cam and the other one. Cam and Anderson. Here coming. It's so cool. Like, that's just like, what an awesome opportunity that is to spread the you know, the and grow the incredible CrossFit methodology and community. Like that's there's no better way. 3 weeks in a row doing that.
Yeah. And I want to say one thing before
we
wrap up about the open, about if people have reservations about signing up for the open because maybe they're not as fit as last year, or well, maybe I'm not fit enough to do the open. Nobody fucking cares. Let me tell you, personally, I am probably my worst fitness level. Fitness level. Coming off a back injury, life has been lifing out of control lately. And like I said, I'm barely making it here 3 days a week. But I'm going to sign up for the open because why not? It is so fun. You don't have to be fit to do the open. No. People get their first pull up in the open. You know, yeah. I might not be able to do RX every workout, which is the first year in my whole entire career. I might not be able to do RX, but I'm still going to fucking do it because I want people to cheer me on. I want to be a part of it.
And everybody's going to be cheering too when you go. They'll be going nuts when you finish.
Yeah. Like people are just so pumped for you, whether you know them or not. Yeah. People are pumped and are high fiving you.
It
like,
really is.
Like I said, you don't get that anywhere else in life as adults now.
No. Christy has competed at the highest level. She's been a regionals team athlete 2 years, right?
Three years.
And 1 year, the year that we went to the CrossFit Games and we were on the podium at the CrossFit Games, which is 2012, right? Mm-hmm. Was that the, yes, that was 2012. The year. Mm-hmm. So she made what in the team, on the team side of things, we call the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where she competed for the team in the semifinals or the regionals at the time to qualify the team for the CrossFit Games, which was, you know, teams were, my estimation was a much bigger deal because it was true affiliate teams.
Yes. You had six people.
Yes.
Six good athletes who were homegrown in a gym. There was no picking from people all over the country be on your team. That was not a thing back then.
No, except for CrossFit Ute, who we had to compete against, that did do that. That's right. Well, sorry, Tommy. I'm just kidding. I know they were part of your community. Had to drive 300
miles away.
That's extended. We're still
extended family.
We're still bitter.
Not at all.
And I love Tommy. I love CrossFit Ute. But anyway, she got the team all the way to the games. And then one of our individual athletes who was unable to qualify for the individual on the individual side of regionals because she went to decide was Whitney Huser. She came back to the team and Christy stepped down to let her compete. But I do remember your performance that helped us get there, especially because Christy she's had the aggressive gross knee surgery before they had all the cool scoping stuff they can do now. She got a big old stuff from her soccer years. And having to do, I remember you doing the deadlift box jump workout. And like we were all watching you do that workout. I didn't remember where I was standing.
That was 2013, though.
Oh, that was 2013?
That was the year after. That was 2013. I distinctly remember that also, though.
Yeah, okay. That was in Santa Rosa.
Yeah, that was Santa Rosa. Yeah, that was Santa Rosa. Okay, I remember that. I do remember that. But anyway, I helped us qualify and then came back the next year, too. Mm-hmm. But she stepped down and gave up a position to Whitney Huser. And then the team went on to podium finish at the CrossFit Games.
It was a tight race right at the end too.
Yeah. So she's been on both ends of the spectrum for us, but then also made that awesome sacrifice, like the ultimate sportsmanship award. So it's good, very good to have your perspective. And then she's practically run this gym for a number of years, and I think she kind of like in the background still does a little bit.
She's texting Craig
regularly.
Between that and the programming, she's got some insights.
Yeah, she's got inputs. Yeah, so it's awesome to have you on, have that perspective. And then I think the other thing we didn't mention we were going to talk about, but Christy came to the gym before Jamie Lee.
Yeah,
she was here. He was at CrossFit Burn. He had another CrossFit affiliate, and then we partnered together, and his customers came over here. Jamie came over here to coach, and that's where he started hitting on Christy.
Well, I think she was hitting on me because I was coaching the nighttime class.
Yeah.
And they broke the cardinal rule. Where's employees aren't supposed to be dating members. And then the proposal took place, which was really cool. Well, the proposal took place at the regionals at Santa Clara Fairgrounds.
Right after we qualified.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Right after
it was the final. It was between TJs and us, and it was
fun.
I remember in the back. You remember? You were in that event. You were in the field.
I was too hydrated to do the drug test, and I could not celebrate with anybody. I missed everything because I was in a stupid room waiting for my pee to not be so hydrated.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember bringing her?
I missed the ice cream sundaes.
Oh, yeah. We brought you melted ice cream just to try to dilute your the. Oh, God.
Yeah, so that was
too much information.
Yes,
sorry.
They did drug tests back then too.
Yep. Yes, they did.
But that proposal took place and CrossFit broadcast it as well. You can find it on their YouTube channel. So that was just incredible times. And the competition that you did bring up, TJ's gym, is TJ's Rockland, Hawaii
808.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, we had some, you know, and that's, I don't know if that can ever come back like that. That was, again, we were the,
I think
it was so freaking awesome.
I feel like there is an opportunity for that to come back, but we need to come together as affiliates and drive towards the open, because the open is for the affiliates.
Yeah.
And CrossFit's given us an opportunity as affiliates to come back and compete against each other through the Community Cup.
Oh yeah. And that might turn out to be really cool.
It's a huge opportunity.
Interesting to see how that plays out, actually.
People need to just kind of accept that there is another opportunity for us as affiliates and affiliate members. Maybe not for the top level competitors, but we can get it back.
Yeah.
I have faith in that.
And as a community, we are all a little older, especially the ones been around a while. So there's, you know, I think that represents an opportunity to, you know, you bring in young, fresh blood, you might be able to take over the Community Cup. So, all right. Anything else, you guys?
Thanks for coming on.
We got subjects, topics that I wanted to cover that were touchy, and I think we handled it with grace. Hopefully got a few of our members to sign up, want to be part of the open, because it's an awesome experience. We have a heritage in it. Christy, as usual, damn good. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Till next time.
Cheers.
Bye, guys.